Portion. So we're moving on tonight to Revelation chapter 15, and we're looking at the, most of the chapter here this evening. So let's turn to God's Word, Revelation 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I do count it a privilege to bring you the message of the gospel each day at this time on the station. May the Lord minister to your heart and give you this saving faith in the Lord Jesus. The book of Revelation is blessed. It's blessed from beginning to end. And those that read this book and begin to understand the drama of the battle between the Son of God and the devil, and to know that Jesus always gets the victory, Jesus always wins, there is no defeat with the Lord. And while Christians on earth suffer and endure hardships and even martyrdoms, praise God, the Lord Jesus always gets the victory, and the church ends up in a note of praise. And in this chapter, we're dealing with the song of Moses, the song of the Lamb, and of praises to the King. It's a great thing to be in Christ, to be in his church, to be amongst the people of God, to sing his marvelous praise. We ought to be a singing people. And in our church, we have the old-fashioned hymns singing about the atoning blood. We don't want the modern ditties that are just talking about feelings. We want to get to the cross, to Calvary, to the atoning work of the Son of God. And today, as we move to Revelation chapter 15, I pray you will be blessed through his word.
Got the victory over the Antichrist, over the beast. I might pause a moment and say that this is the Antichrist. You remember the dragon, and he gives his power to the beast. That's the one who comes up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist. He's the counterpart, the opposite to Christ himself. Then there was the beast that came up out of the sea, and he was the great deceiver. He is the counterpart of the Holy Spirit, that satanic trinity. And so these who had gotten the victory over the beast is over the Antichrist, over his image, and then also over his mark. They did not submit to become loyal to that evil system. They were loyal to Christ. And then one more thing, they got victory over the number of his name, 666. And that, of course, is the number by which they traded, the mark of the beast. And, of course, the idea was that no one would trade, no one would be able to prosper in this world unless they received the mark of the beast, unless they followed his directives. But these saints, these who are now in heaven, standing on the sea of glass, they've got a name and a reputation. These are conquerors. These who are loyal to Christ. They have got the victory over all of those forces that would lead them away from serving the Lord. And so it's a good thing to be loyal to Christ. And let us be ready to take our stand. Whatever forces, pressures come upon us, it might be many things that would just weaken our Christian witness, that would distract us from being worshipers of the Lord Jesus. Let us renounce those things. Let us resist those things. And let us seek that reputation that we have gotten the victory over the beast. We also see them here as saints playing harps. What a great sight. They are called the harps of God. You notice that at the end of verse 2? They stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. So they're not their own, but God provides them. They're given to them by God. And these are for heavenly music and delight of soul. And they show us that in heaven there is the deepest enjoyment of pleasure. The greatest form of entertainment, and I put that under quotes lest it's misunderstood. Heaven is not going to be a dull place. It's not going to be an empty place. It's not going to be a vacuum. It's going to be a place filled with marvelous, marvelous delights day and night. Serving, worshiping the King, and these harps, that beautiful music of heaven, and it's given by God. What a wonderful sight. And what a great contrast between the Christian in eternity. Now, this is you and me in the future versus the wicked who end up in the torments of hell. If you go to chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, you will read of the torment, the pain, and the suffering of the wicked who go to hell. Revelation 16, verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea, the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. There's no pain relief there. And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. What a pathetic, dismal, torturous sight of the wicked in hell, tormented day and night. Contrast that with the victorious saints standing on the sea of glass with harps of God. What a beautiful picture. And we tonight are redeemed, saved by grace. We're looking forward to that heaven, which is our home. We will never see hell. We will never be in the midst of that place of torment. We will enjoy these wonderful, pleasurable places that will delight our souls. So I hope tonight you're glad that you're a Christian. You're glad that the Lord has saved you and chosen you to eternal life. and you will give up this world and all its short-term little petty gratifications, that you might live as a conqueror and have that glorious standing with Christ. I hope tonight you've settled the matter of eternity, and that you know you're saved and you're ready for heaven. The Bible says ye must be born again. No man can enjoy heaven without a new heart unless we are changed and ready for heaven. Now, the second part we come to tonight, not only the sights, but the songs or the sounds of victorious saints. We're looking here at verse 3 and verse 4, and we read in verse 3 that they sing the song of Moses. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Now, that obviously is a reference to the song that was sung, Exodus 15, post-deliverance out of the Red Sea drowning. That is one of the amazing stories of Bible history, of how that nation were delivered through the Red Sea while the Egyptians were destroyed. I remember as a teenager in high school, and our teacher, he was the vice principal of the school, and he took a bunch of us boys out to the grass area of the school, and we sat around in a kind of a semicircle, and he told us the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. It was the first time I really heard it really well told. And Oliver Gibson was a brilliant historian type. He just loved history, and he loved to tell the stories of history. And I remember us boys sitting around, absolutely riveted, hearing the story of how Israel was delivered through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians, they were confounded. And of course, you have all the components of excitement and of curiosity. How are they going to get across? Here are these Egyptian armies following after with their chariots and their horses. They could see the dust clouds, and they could hear the rumblings of the chariot wheels and the hooves of the horses, and they had nowhere to go. They couldn't go right nor left. There was just a sea before them. And of course, Moses cried, and God told them about the rod to touch the waters, and the sea divided. And on that seabed they crossed over a massive number of people who went out across that Red Sea on dry land and got to the other side. And then, of course, what was deliverance for Israel was a trap for the Egyptians. And the Bible, if you read Exodus 15, especially verse 19, it speaks of how it was deliverance for the Israelites, but judgment for the Egyptians. The one thing, the one event, was deliverance to the people of God, but judgment to the wicked Egyptians. Something like that is going to happen on the judgment day. The day when Christ comes, it will be a day of deliverance for Christians, but it will be a day of destruction for the wicked. When Christ appears in the sky, he will come in the brightness of his glory. Every eye is going to see him, and you and I will be caught up in the air to be with him. But the wicked will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. You read 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4, and that book, those short chapters, describe those things. And that day of judgment, what I call the great all-encompassing event, when Christ shall come for his people, but he will also come to destroy the wicked. And on that day, time will be over. Grace will be no longer. But for the Christian, everyone will be safe. For the wicked, no one will escape. And so we can expect such miracles. That's why at a deathbed for a Christian, it is a very different scene than for the deathbed of an ungodly non-Christian. For the Christian, there are promises and certainties. There is deliverance. The Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, Psalm 116. But for the wicked, there are no promises. There are no mercies. It is dark, and it is not instant glory, but it is instant retribution. The rich man woke up after he died in torments instantly. And so we see this great difference. Now, they, as we find here, they sing the song of Moses. They also sing the song of the Lamb, we're told, in verse 3. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now, the Lamb, surely, linking to Moses, linking to the deliverance of Israel, takes us to the Passover night, and how the Lamb was brought into the home, and at the appointed hour, the Lamb was slain, its blood was put on the doorposts, and by the mark of the blood on the doorpost, deliverance came to the Israelites. And those people knew the song of the Lamb. They knew to praise God for that great deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. And Christians learn that song. And in heaven we will learn that song, because Jesus is the Lamb for our salvation. And you will join in. You will sing in heaven the song of the Lamb. Now, it's a great thing that we are in a church tonight where we have a hymn book with songs about the Lamb. We have hymns that are carefully written to give honor to the Lamb, and that we are washed in his blood and saved by his grace. We also find here that they sing to their king. So they sing the song of Moses, they sing the song of the Lamb, and then you'll notice the king in that verse 3. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. What a great title. The Lord Jesus is not the king of wicked. He's the king of saints. He's the king of all that are washed in the blood and made holy. Saint means holy. And every disciple of Christ, every follower of the Lord, they want to be godly and holy to honor the King. And he's the King of nations. If you look at verse 4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship thee. What a universal King he is. He's the King of every tribe and people of this world, and he will call out his people from every nation of the world to build his glorious kingdom, and he is king, and we will take great delight in worshiping him and honoring him on that day. Now, they also sing that he is a righteous judge. We have made some reference to this already. The end of verse 4, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now, this is in the midst of their singing. This is in the midst of their praising. And they worship and sing of the righteous judge, for his ways are just and they are true. Look at the end of verse 3. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways. And that made me to say that we will be in perfect agreement with God's ways. We will be in alignment with everything that God has done and praise him for it. And we will worship him as the righteous judge of all the earth. And in that way, we can pray tonight that he will be the king of his people in every part of the world. As we pray for missionaries, Mexico, we can pray that the Lord will be the king over his people, building his church even there as well. Now, if you go to chapter 16:7, just to corroborate these things, you'll notice that in that hour I heard another out of the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." God's judgments are always perfect. God never judges out of malice, nor out of frustration. Now, we as earthly parents, sometimes raising our children, we get frustrated. And we just come to the end of our rope and we say, "We can't have this anymore. You go to your room, or you take a back seat, or you just stop that." And we make a judgment and we maybe make some discipline right out of frustration because we can't take it anymore. Well, God is never frustrated. His ways are perfect. His wisdom is always perfect. And what he does is for good. You can write Romans 8:28 over every act of God. All things work together for good to them that love God. And we will worship God on that basis, giving him the praise for his righteous acts. And so, I hope tonight you can answer the question, what will that great day be like? What will heaven be like? What will it be like to be a Christian on that day when Christ returns? Well, I trust that every one of us here will be as those who have gotten the victory over the beast, over the enemy of the Lord, and we have been faithful witnesses unto him. It will be a terrible day for the wicked, but it will be peace and blessedness for every child of God. And if God is your heavenly Father and you are his child, you will truly be home. Do you know what it's like to go home? Think of the teenager that goes off to university for the first time, perhaps ever, away from home. The first time away from his own surroundings where he or she have grown up for all those years. And then the day they come back home. It's the place where they belong. Everything else is strange. Everything is another world. Heaven's our home. That's where we belong. We will be with our Savior. And all the saints agree. There will be no denominations in heaven. There will be no Baptist churches in heaven, no free evangelical churches in heaven, and no free Presbyterian churches in heaven. It's going to be over for denominations. We will be one church in perfect agreement on every detail of worship unto God. No, there's not going to be a little cabin somewhere in heaven for free Presbyterians. No, there's going to be one glorious church with one united voice, praising, singing the song of Moses and the Lamb, of the King of saints, and the Judge of all the earth.
Tell me more, so much I need, his power to keep, his hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of him I love, until I see his face above. Oh, tell me more of Christ my Savior. On this glad theme dwell o'er and o'er. His boundless grace, His saving favor, His precious name. Oh, tell me more. Oh, tell me more. So much I need, His power to keep, His hand to lead. Oh, tell me more. Until I see His face above. Oh, tell me more, and I repeating the happy news shall spread the joy. Come, blessed Lord, Thy work completing till
song. That was Al Smith singing for us today, and I trust that you have a hunger to know more of heaven. Yes, for all eternity we will be learning more, experiencing more, and entering into more of what it is to be united to Christ, an heir and a joint heir with Him. Paul the Apostle said that if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And my prayer is that you will be ready and a part of that glorious time. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Today, call on the Lord and you shall be saved. Remember Romans 10:9? Open that chapter 10, read it for yourself, call on the Lord, and the promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I can be of personal help, give me a call or send me an email. Stay tuned now for these closing announcements.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.